Our reading from the New Testament this morning comes from Acts 5, the entire chapter, 1 through 42. So turn in your Bibles to that. Acts 5, 1 through 42. But a man named Ananias, with his wife Sapphira, sold a piece of property, and with his wife's knowledge he kept back for himself some of the proceeds, and brought only a part of it, and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit, and to keep back for yourself part of the proceeds of the land? While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not at your disposal? Why is it that you have contrived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. When Ananias heard these words, he fell down and breathed his last, and great fear came upon all who heard of it. The young men rose and wrapped him up and carried him out and buried him. After an interval of about 3 hours, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter said to her, Tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, Yes, for so much. But Peter said to her, How is it you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out. Immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last. When the young men came in, they found her dead. And they carried her out and buried her beside her husband. And great fear came upon the whole church and upon all who heard of these things. Now many signs and wonders were regularly done among the people by the hands of the apostles. And they were all together in Solomon's portico. None of the rest dared join them. But the people held them in high esteem. And more than ever, believers were added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they even carried out the sick into the streets and laid them on cots and mats, that as Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on some of them. The people also gathered from towns around Jerusalem, bringing the sick and those afflicted with unclean spirits, and they were all healed. But the high priest rose up, and all who were with him, that is, the party of the Sadducees, and filled with jealousy, they arrested the apostles and put them in the public prison. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out, and said, Go and stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life. And when they heard this, they entered the temple at daybreak and began to teach. Now when the high priest came and those who were with him, they called together the council and all the senate of the people of Israel and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came, they did not find them in the prison. So they returned and reported, We found the prison securely locked and the guards standing at the doors, but when we opened them, we found no one inside. Now when the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these things, they were greatly perplexed about them, wondering what this would come to. And someone came and told them, Look, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple, teaching the people. Then the captain with the officers went and brought them, but not by force, for they were afraid of being stoned by the people. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest questioned them, saying, We strictly charged you not to teach in this name. Yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you intend to bring this man's blood upon us. But Peter and the apostles answered, We must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. When they heard this, they were enraged and wanted to kill them. But a Pharisee in the council named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, held in honor by all the people, stood up and gave orders to put the men outside for a little while. And he said to them, "Men of Israel, take care what you are about to do with these men. For before these days came, Thaddeus rose up, claiming to be somebody, and a number of men, about 400, joined him. He was killed, and all who followed him were dispersed and came to nothing. After him, Judas the Galilean rose up in the days of the census and drew away some of the people after him. He too perished, and all who followed him were scattered. So in the present case, I tell you, keep away from these men and let them alone. For if this plan or this undertaking is of man, it will fail. But if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them. You might even be found opposing God." So they took his advice, and when they called the apostles, they beat them and charged them not to speak in the name of Jesus and to let them go. Then they left the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. And every day in the temple and from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. And just a few comments on this chapter. What made the sin of Ananias and Sapphira worse than the sins of the Pharisees, whose religion was arranged to impress society? The Pharisees were all about outward show. Seems to be the same problem that Ananias and Sapphira had. They wanted to impress people with how much they gave. And what about Aaron's sons, who offered strange fire and were immediately killed? Were they worse than others who offered false worship? What about Lot's wife? She turned around and was turned to a pillar of salt. Was she worse than we are when we look back on our sinful ways and maybe are thinking fondly of past sins at times? Were these worse than us? Were Ananias and Sapphira the only to lie to God and test the Holy Spirit? Don't we test the Holy Spirit and grieve Him? And so we have to ask. We could ask, why were they dealt with so severely? We could ask, why aren't we dealt with so severely? And one answer, at least, is Jesus gives us, I think, when he says, "Remember Lot's wife." He doesn't tell us why Lot's wife was singled out for an example of God's anger against sin. He just says, "Remember Lot's wife," as a warning that we not go her way. And the same could be said of this, I think. Remember Ananias and Sapphira and their sinning and grieving against the Holy Spirit, grieving the Spirit by their sin in lying to God. Consider these who were dealt with severely as warnings and examples. Then in the next section from verses 12 through 42, we have, especially 17 through 42, we have another case of outward show and jealousy for the honor and glory that people would give. Why was it that the Pharisees and Sadducees were so incensed at the apostles? Was it because they thought the apostles were ungodly? Maybe. Maybe they thought they were leading the people astray. But the word jealousy here suggests, I think, they were filled with jealousy because the crowds were following Peter. And look, their reputation was being dragged through the dirt. They were being, these high priest and his council were being blamed for the crucifixion of Jesus. And because that's one of the things they objected to. You're charging us with this man's blood. And we're pretty concerned that our reputation might go, might lose some value. We want to look good in the eyes of the people, and you're making us look bad. Maybe that was part of their motivation. They had this outward religion that they wanted to preserve their own good name. But we have to ask ourselves, what's the great love of our life? If the great love of the high priest's life is to preserve his public good name and to remain in control of the people, what is our God? What is the love of our life? What's the thing for which we would be jealous if it were taken away and that we would fight with every tooth and nail to preserve? And as Pastor Ellis said on many occasions, what is the biggest thing in your life? Whatever that thing is, that is your God. And we are to have no God but God himself. And then we can see in the latter part of that chapter the response of these apostles after they were cleared, sort of. They were still beaten and charged not to speak any more in the name of Jesus, but they counted themselves worthy to have been worthy to have suffered for Jesus Christ and his cause and his kingdom and his gospel. They did not cease to teach and preach Jesus Christ, and may we do likewise. We're not facing beatings, so all the more shouldn't we be eager and ready and frequently teaching and preaching the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. So now, let's have a time of prayer. And I'll be praying for Pastor Barnes and his work with the General Assembly, among some other things. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we marvel, first of all, that you would have a people to be your own who are like us, sinners, rebels, ignorant, lethargic, and naturally disinclined to everything that you stand for and everything about you. And yet you not only have saved us, but you sanctify us and you prepare us for that eternity in heaven when we will be in the presence of our Lord Jesus, serving him and relishing that face-to-face relationship with him. We confess that we would not be able to stand it if we went as we are in our sinful ways. We would run away and would not be capable of worshiping him face-to-face. Sanctify us, we pray, and make us holy, that whatever state we are in when we die, that you would instantly remove all the remaining dross and sin and waywardness and false affections and glorify us, Father, as you have promised to do, that we would have that wonderful eternity with our Lord Jesus without sin standing in the way. And we thank you that you have dealt so completely with our sin problem, that vast moral disease that infects the whole human race. For your people, you have provided the perfect solution in the righteousness of Christ being looked on in place of our wickedness, and the penalty of our sin being fully paid for by the blood of Christ. We thank you for these two great gifts, and we praise you that you have seen so completely to every detail, every possible objection or difficulty or obstacle in our salvation. You have overcome it and provided a complete solution for us. We praise you for your mercy and grace in that. Father, we thank you that Pastor Barnes can attend the General Assembly We thank you for that assignment that he has to make a presentation of an important matter. We pray that you would give him courage in making that presentation. Give him stability and clear thinking and articulation, that he would be, that he would fairly and accurately represent the matter that needs to be brought to the assembly. And we pray that they would be favorable to that position that is stated, that they would take sin seriously and false doctrine and heresy seriously, and not decline in as a denomination, as we are fearful at times they are declining. We pray that there would be a resurgence in the truth of your scriptures and the carefulness in handling your word. And we pray that if it would please you, there would be a great revival evident in this year's General Assembly. And we thank you for the time that he's having with Pastor Ellis over this weekend. We pray that you would grant them both sweet communion with one another and with our Lord Jesus as they enjoy talking of the things of God and sharing with one another the wonders of your truth. Father, we we bring to you again our brother Larry Manneman, and that those treatments he's been undergoing, we thank you that they have had a good effect. We pray that they would completely have the effect that they should have, and that his cancer would be completely stopped in its tracks. If it would please you, Father, grant that effectiveness that is desired for those treatments. And we thank you that he has tolerated them so well, and we pray that the determination would be that they are not needed anymore because the desired outcome, the desired progress has been made. And we thank you for those medical advances that make these things possible. And we know this is not the glory of man that has brought these about, but your loving kindness to the human race, that even those who are not your own would be given wisdom by you to make discoveries and make available such remedies as we see available to us today. We thank you that we live in such a time when these remedies and helps are available. We pray also for Bob Dunn, and that he would respond properly to the treatments he's getting for his cancer. We praise you that he has been able to find treatment, and we pray that those treatments would be fully effective for him as well. And we think of Mary Ashley, and we know she is still undergoing pain and healing. We pray that you would bring about a complete healing of her bones and that pain in her knee. We pray that the surgery that's planned in July would be effective in making that better, that she would not be impaired at all. We do pray that you would restore her completely in all her mobility and activities and strength. And may that be also for your glory, not for the glory of any man, but that you would receive the thanks and praise of your people as you answer our prayers. And we commend ourselves to you, Father, not because we deserve to be commended, but because you have set your love upon us, and we entrust ourselves to your care and to the care of no other. Grant your Holy Spirit among this congregation of your people, that the fruit of the Spirit would abound among us, and that we would not bring shame to the cause of Christ, but that we would bring glory to our Lord Jesus and to the Father and Holy Spirit. We pray for the advancement and extension of your kingdom, even here. Grant, Father, that others would join us to worship you here, and bless us as we commune with one another. We pray that you would keep the devil at bay, prevent divisions or difficulties arising between people or between families. And instead, we pray that you would grant us that sweet communion that we are promised in your Holy Spirit. Receive our worship in the remainder of this time and instruct us, feed us at the feast of your word as the scriptures are open to us. And receive us for the sake of Christ and all that he has accomplished on our behalf. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.